Welcome to the podcast. Here we explore ambition, well-being, and impact, and we dive deep under the surface level tactics so that you can build a freedom-focused business on your terms. Hi, I'm your host, Annalise Warne, an agency CEO, business strategist, and coach, as well as a wife and homeschooling, traveling mama of four little ones. Stay tuned for conversations with inspirational business leaders, as well as practical marketing and leadership strategies that you can action right away. So let's get into it. Hello, welcome back to the show. Now, today's episode is going to be a nice, quick one, but it's something that I really want to address because it's been coming up when I have been interviewed in podcasts recently. It is something that I am working on within my own business at the moment, spending quite a bit of time on optimizing. And a lot of my clients see incredible results when this platform is leveraged, but it's the less sexy one, right? And that is email. Now, I do get asked a lot whether email is still effective. And of course, the answer is yes, email is very effective, but it depends on what your goal is, right? It's definitely the less dopamine hit kind of platform, right? When we're on socials, we show our face or we, you know, it's short and sharp to the point. We get likes, we get comments, and it's playful and it's fun. And email is less playful, but leads to greater sales when you do it correctly. And for many of you, that is the part that is missing, right? Is the sales piece. And so marketing can kind of be where we stay. And when we say marketing, a lot of people think social media automatically, but there is so much more to marketing than just social media. And for B2B service providers, for freelancers, that group, agencies, tend to use email less than coaches and, you know, other thought leaders. So I just really want to address this from that freelancer service provider point of view, because again, many coaches are already on the bandwagon with this and many service providers are not, and they're missing out. So let's talk about first the step before that, right? Which is we need to be getting in front of new people. And of course, email is not going to get us in front of new people because by definition, they're on our email list. They're not brand new because they've opted in for the email list. So we do need a strategy first to actually build the email list, or you're going to be emailing nobody. So refer to other episodes on visibility and lead generation, but the email component is middle of the funnel, how we are nurturing people. This is where we want to build that know, like, and trust factor. But your content here should really be shifting their frame of mind into being ready to say yes to working with you. So what do they need to know and think and believe about you in order to say yes to your product or service? And that is the core of what our content should be, right? First, we want to get their attention. We want to do that with polarizing content. We want to do that with, like, talking about our main values or our main points or our main philosophy. And once they're in our world, we really want to re-educate them about what it is that we do and why we do it the way that we do it, and be preparing people to hear what the offer is, because often what we do is maybe different to what their perception is. And I've mentioned this quite a few times. It is like that in marketing. Often, because I have a tradie marketing agency, often tradies' perspective of what marketing is and what we will do for them is different to what we are actually going to do for them and the actual way that we go about it. So that is where the education piece comes in with our content. So that is what you can do as a service provider, is have some form of core content that you push out via email so that you're not just sending sales emails and do you want to work with me kind of emails, but thinking about having a central piece of content that you develop on a regular basis. Now, it doesn't have to be daily or weekly. You could have it fortnightly. You could have it monthly. It doesn't matter the frequency as long as it's consistent. Because again, a lot of the times as a service provider, we need less clients than maybe a course or a course creator or something like that, a membership owner. So what we are doing is we're going for a higher ticket, high quality buyer, and we need to pitch our content at that level. Right? When we're not typically after the masses, we want, you know the type of client that you want to work with, you know the type of work that you want to be doing, and you need to be speaking to that person and moving them to where they want to be. And often that is people who are in their business at the middle levels or higher levels rather than at the beginning, because they're going to be paying optimal money for your services. Often you're not going to be working with people just getting started. So really think about that in terms of the level of content and establish some sort of central content piece that you produce on a regular basis. Now, this might be a podcast. It might be a video, like a YouTube channel. It might be blogs. Really go with your skill set here. What can you produce quality content in what format regularly? Are you excellent at writing? Great, do blogs. Are you a talker? Great, do podcasts. Do you love being on video? Incredible, do that. You do want to align as best as you can with your audience. So for example, in the tradie marketing agency, blogs are going to be okay in that they give us good SEO and people when they're searching for an agency, but my audience are not going to read tons of blogs. So yes, they're going to be a good piece to help build my search engine optimization, but the actual core content is potentially not going to be read because that audience prefer listening and prefer video. So do consider your audience in this, but really the number one consideration is your skill set and what you want to learn and what you are going to commit to. Because if you hate writing, there's no way you're going to write, 1,000, 1,500 words on a regular basis. So really, first consideration is what do you like doing? What can you do well? Second consideration is where are your people going to be? All right, so once you have that central piece of content, you have something that is going to both establish your authority and build trust. So the great thing about having a central piece of content is that you can really develop your voice, you can show your brand personality. You do build that trust because you know what you're talking about and that's really obvious. So those things are really powerful tools when we're working with clients who are trusting their business to us, whether that is in marketing, in operations, in finance, whatever area it is that you work in. If you work with businesses, they are entrusting you with some element of growth or ease in their business. And that's a big leap of faith to put your business in the hands of someone else in some capacity, whether, whatever area that is. And so we don't take that lightly, and we do need to build that trust in order to get to the place for someone to make that step. Okay, so I'm just going to quickly touch on the best way to get people onto your email list. And of course, that is through some sort of opt-in. Just general join my newsletter kind of pop-up things typically don't work anymore very well in my experience. So you really do want to have that value exchange where you are creating a PDF or a video series something worth something to that person, something that is going to give them a quick win, something that is like the low-hanging fruit, a really juicy carrot, something they want to know. And it doesn't have to be this big onerous thing. It can just be a checklist, like, you know, the five-step checklist to make your meetings run quicker, or the five things that you can claim on your tax that you probably didn't know about, right? So make this that question, make your freebie a response to the question that you get asked all the time, or the thing that is that hot button, the red hot thing that people want, that you know that they want because you get asked it, or you talk to them about that first, or something that's going to get their attention. And develop something that is easy on that. It could be a 10-minute audio. It could be a checklist. It does not have to take you weeks and weeks to develop this, you know, 47-page ebook with beautiful graphics and all of that. If you want to do that, as long as you're not procrastinating, sure, go and do the fancy ebook. It has to be valuable, but just because it's valuable doesn't mean it has to be generous. People are short on time and attention spans are short. So if they open a 47-page ebook, there's a big chance they're not going to actually consume the whole thing. So really just make it short, sharp, to solve a problem, to give them a quick win. And they're going to receive that in exchange for their email address. What you want, and this is the same for coaches, consultants, thought leaders, service providers, freelancers, you name it. This is the same for all of us. We want an email sequence, a welcome email sequence to go out immediately after that freebie has been downloaded. So this will look like 3 to 6 emails typically that introduce who you are, or who the business is, the problems that you solve, a little bit about your story, but really it's not going to be just, you know, here's all about us or here's all about me. You want a little bit in there, but you really want to tell stories. You really want to communicate things of value. You really want to make that person like you and develop this sense of loyalty towards you and your business, your brand, through that content, through that email sequence. So there's lots of different frameworks that you can work through to get that. One of the ones that I like, I might pop in the show notes, the link to that, which is a bit of a formula that goes through, you know, a conversation of what it would look like at a cocktail party if you met someone. Oh, what do you do? Oh, this, oh, how did you get into that? You know, all of these, the questions that you would ask and how a normal conversation would go. That's a really great email sequence in answering those questions in those way, in that order. So it doesn't seem really spammy, but it does introduce them into your world. It does introduce them to your philosophy. It does build that authority and that trust, which is what you want. Because when that person thinks about, if you're an accountant, when that person thinks about finance, you want them to think about you. And they're only going to do that if you strike a chord with them and build some sort of rapport. So that email sequence is really important to establish that first impression, right? Because that first impression is going to be that that initial series. It's not just necessarily the one first moment. It's the impression that they get from you from the first little while of knowing who it is that you are and that experience of working with you and your brand. So if that experience is, you know, well branded and seamless and everything looks the same and the emails are well crafted and there's not a heap of spelling mistakes and it's professionally done, then that's how they're going to think about you. If it's slapdash and all over the place and inconsistent, then that's what they're going to think about you. And again, when they're trusting us with their business, you really want to go for the first one. Now, and the last one that should be speaking about spelling mistakes, because I am so you know, quick and high level that I frequently have spelling mistakes. And so definitely no judgment from here, but a lot of people, that really does, you know, get their goat. And so I get someone proofread it, re-look over it. All of us should, me included, definitely should be aiming to have things correct in terms of, you know, spelling and grammar and all of that. Okay, so I also want to talk about once you've got your PDF resource and your email sequence, that weekly or fortnightly or monthly central content piece will be delivered to your email list. Again, whether that's video or blog or podcast or some other format, you will deliver that after they've received your email sequence. So the email sequence will probably be over a period of a couple of weeks. So again, whether that's 3 or 6 emails or somewhere in between, it's really up to you, you knowing what your audience is going to be up for, what their capacity for emails is going to be, how many emails they're likely to get already, all based on industry and, you know, what you have to say and the type of business and brand that you're building. So there are no specific rules. There are, you get to do what you like. And another really great thing about email is that more and more we get to take advantage of the fact that we get real estate in somebody's inbox once we do, because we own our email list. And so many of us have spent the last, I don't know, 5 years, depending how long you've been in business, really invested in social media and, you know, building Facebook groups or building Instagram channels or whatever it is, but we don't own those platforms. And for me, that is becoming more and more relevant in the way that I market for my own business and the way that my clients are marketing and that I suggest my clients market, because social media is so crowded and the barrier to entry is so very low that anyone can have a social media account up and running in, you know, 10 minutes flat, be saying that they do exactly the same thing as you do and maintain that social media presence pretty easily because it's short and sharp. It's low barrier to entry. It's kind of the easiest marketing thing to do for many people. And because of how the algorithm works at the moment, and again, more and more, is it's very much pay to play. So if you want to be seen, even by your followers, right, you often need to pay for that, because every like third post approximately is an ad, right? Even if you're going through someone's individual feed, like if you've clicked on someone's post and you want to go through their feed, like on their profile, you will still see ads every few posts. You will still see ads, even though you're not in your newsfeed or wherever. So the ability to be seen and the amount of time that people are going to spend interacting with your business on social media is decreasing. And it's so noisy because everything's so short and sharp. In 1 minute, they might see 10 different posts or more. In 1 minute. So they've interacted with 10 different businesses in 1 minute, right? Let's just say that is like the low bar. And yes, you might get a like or a comment that makes you feel good or that other people can see, but how much of that is actually converting to sales? Like if you look at your performance on social media in the last 3 months, how many sales have you got from social media? And if you can answer that and say a lot, like that most of mine have come from there, amazing, incredible, great, keep doing what you're doing. But the answer for most people is not a lot, right? Then they might be getting attention. They might be getting like initial conversations started there, but a lot of people are getting sales from their conversion events or from email, not directly from social media. That doesn't mean you won't get any. You will if you use these platforms correctly. But the point is that people are not necessarily in that frame of mind when they go to social media. They're going there because they've got a few minutes, you know, they're scrolling and scrolling through. And yes, if they see something that provokes them enough, that gets their attention enough, they might explore that more. But it's happening less because it's so noisy there. Email, on the other hand, it's a little bit more open. Yes, we get lots of emails, but a lot of people are being way more selective about what they actually opt in for. So if you get an opt-in, you are getting that valuable real estate in their inbox. And even if they don't open the email, they are looking at your name and archiving you or deleting you or saving you for later or whatever it is they're going to do. They're going to see your name in their inbox and think about you more so than they will on social media. The impact hits differently from our inbox than it does from social media. And because on email, you get more space, you really get to get your message across in a deeper way on email. And you can include more elements than you can in a social media post. Now, especially if you're going for more of a high ticket B2B kind of product and audience, then email is going to be the place that converts more highly, because that type of client is going to be typically spending less time on social media. So if you get an opt-in from that sort of client, then the email is going to be the place where you will get better conversions. Now, if you're not sure the types of things that you can include, remember that central core content piece. And if you don't want to do that, then think about other ways that you can use email. You can be giving industry tips. You can be giving case studies of actual clients that you have worked with, whether you give their name or not, that you don't have to. You can give testimonials. You can talk about new tools that you're using and or new offers that you have and why you do things a certain way. And again, because it's in email, it holds more weight than social media a lot of the time, especially in the B2B service provider space. The other great thing that I just want to comment on here is email gives really great opportunity to receive feedback. So you can use your emails to kind of survey your clients about how good the email was, whether they want more of that or less of that, or to actually ask them what sort of content they want, just by making little hyperlinks at the bottom that are automated to, you know, different areas and different tags or different notifications for you. You can get really simple feedback just by putting hyperlinks at the bottom. So for example, you know, did you enjoy this email? I want more like this. I want less like this. That's it. And it's something that you can do with email that is a lot harder to do or more onerous to do with social media. And also, people in email, because they're invested into receiving your email and they've got it in their inbox, they're potentially more likely to respond because they're protective of that space more than they are in socials. So I hope that that was helpful. I hope that that gave you some ideas, some clarification about email marketing that's actually relevant for service providers, because a lot of the information about email marketing is not specifically for service providers, but more for coaches, consultants, thought leaders, that sort of thing. So I hope that that was helpful for you. I'd love to hear your feedback as always. And that's all for today. All right. I'll see you on the next one. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
Two things before you go. If you have loved this episode, please grab your phone to subscribe and review the show. And if you are ready to make a power move in your business, book a free strategy call with me, and you will walk away with a 3-step action plan and a new fire in your belly. Book your call at annalisewarn.com/consult. The link is in the show notes. Have a fabulous week.